Some places stand like chapter headings in one's life story. The days rush by like a torrent of words, but every now and then comes an island that redefines the journey. For me, in Africa, there will always be Sindabezi Island in Zambia, a place I'm likely to remember on my deathbed. It wasn't because, when I got there with my girlfriend, aka Dreadlocks, we were shown to an open-fronted thatched cottage on the edge of the Zambezi River. No wall, no window, just a muslin drape between us and crocodiles and hippos below if we wanted it. We didn't. Nor was it because of the dawn light of sunrise flooding the cottage and animating all of life. Birds twittered, insects hummed, and hippos snortled in a nasal baritone in the hot and humid air. One small bird flew into our roofless bathroom and danced on the mirror frame. Nor, indeed, was it the sense of ostentatious luxury, although, well, it didn't do any harm. A personal valet ran as a hot bubble bath in the glow of hurricane lamps and starlight. We drank wine, sand underfoot, around an open fire, and ate a three-course dinner listening to the music of the bush at night. There are just 5 cottages on Sindabezi Island, a bush camp that has won accolades as one of the best remote places to stay in the world. There's no electricity, but the lights are powered by solar energy. The sense of seclusion is absolute. This is nature's territory, not ours, as if all of human history never happened. I wouldn't have been surprised to see a dinosaur bigfooting past. All this I will remember, and the getting there too. We were taken on a motorboat from Tongabezi Lodge, which runs the island and has holiday chalets of its own overlooking the upper Zambezi. We skimmed over the surface of the river, some parts of it as smooth as glass, others ebbing and flowing like rapids. We came to a stop at an island even smaller than Sindabezi. "This is no man's land," said a valet as he prepared a picnic lunch. Before us was the shoreline of Zimbabwe, the reeds and grass banks almost within touching distance. Above us, masked weaver birds with yellow mantles hanging upside down in a tree, singing as they built nests high in its branches to escape future floods. At sunset, the sky became a vast canvas of crimson, orange and pink that glinted off the waters. Our boat pilot stopped the engine and allowed us to drift in the magnificent tranquility. Then we sped up river and could glimpse the ears of hippos peeping above the water. Sometimes their eyes too, and occasionally an entire head thrown back to give a mighty yawn. At one point an entire group wallowed in the shallows, prompting me to look up the collective noun. Apparently, it's a bloat. Next day, we headed to the Mosi Otonya National Park, where a lone zebra watched us from under a tree. Giraffes, gnus, impalas, monkeys and warthogs basked in the sunlight, impervious to our stares. A baboon sat with its back against a tree, looking irresistibly like a human on a lazy Sunday afternoon. We moved on to Victoria Falls, where the cascade over the jagged rock face has never been better described than by British explorer and missionary David Livingstone in 1855. The whole scene was extremely beautiful. The banks and islands dotted over the river are adorned with sylvan vegetation of great variety of colour and form, he wrote. No one can imagine the beauty of the view from anything witnessed in England. European eyes had never seen it before, but angels in their flight must have gazed upon scenes so lovely. It was, he said, the most wonderful sight I had witnessed in Africa. His story is told in the nearby Livingstone Museum in the town that bears his name. It's one of those quaint museums that nevertheless has some real treasures, including dozens of Livingstone's handwritten letters carefully preserved in sliding glass drawers. Objects on display include his medicine box, penknife and umbrella, and some wood carved from the tree beneath which Welsh-born New York Herald journalist Henry Morton Stanley asked him, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume." We're told that Livingstone started work in a Glasgow cotton mill at the age of 10. He spoke out against the slave trade, but on one particularly torrid expedition, was forced to turn to Arab slave traders to stay alive. There's an illuminating gallery on Zambian history and another on indigenous cultures. Traditional examples of don'ts during pregnancy include do not peep, do not finish food on the plate, do not stand with arms akimbo, do not walk backwards, do not tie knots, and do not shed tears anyhow. We went back to Tongabizi Lodge, which was about to celebrate its 20th anniversary. It was set up by two Britons, Ben Parker and the late Will Ruck Keane, as the first river lodge on the Zambian side of the falls. Among the birthday party guests, we were told, was Kenneth Kaunda, Zambia's founding president. Yes, I can still see it all, but when the fog of memory closes in, there's only one place likely to linger. Sindabizi Island, full of noises, sounds, and sweet airs that give delight. It was there, under a three-quarter moon and the belt of Orion, by the still waters of the Zambezi, that I sank to one knee and asked dreadlocks to be my wife.